listening to the Nerds Assemble podcast.
Welcome to episode 259 of the Nerds Assemble podcast. I'm Emily.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Paul, aka Retroid.
This week we're going to be talking about co-op games, cooperative play, same console play, playing cooperatively generally in video games.
Playing together.
We have talked about the subject previously, but it's been a while.
To be fair, I mean, we're on episode 259. Chances are, if it's in geek culture, we've talked about it at least once from one point
of view. I'm sure there's plenty of stuff we haven't talked about.
I'm pretty sure we haven't dedicated an episode to Star Trek slash fic.
Not yet, at least.
Not yet. Supernatural slash fic, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, about three of those, I think.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't know the first thing about Star Trek slash fic.
I've read one fanfic that was Star Trek slash fic, which was based on the new movie universe, and it was written by a friend, but it was kind of pre-tame. It was like teen and above, so it wasn't like there was anything like...
So it's basically just Spock and Kirk holding hands.
A little bit kissing. But the only reason I read it was because they'd written it, and they're quite good at writing. Usually
Star Trek.
So
I'm quite proud that I've managed to derail an episode so early on.
Yep.
Achievement unlocked.
Though, speaking of,
that's going to take some thing now.
I can just
which is incidentally what that slash fix said.
Can I give one more addition to this derailment though? That's on topic to the derailment. There's controversy in the world of fandom and fanfic writing at the moment because there's been loads of apps that have appeared on Apple and Google's App Store that are basically mirroring Archive of Our Own's fanfic library stores, fix, whatever, and then putting them behind paywalls or various other forms of monetization.
Whoa.
Without the permission of authors.
Whoa, that's just not on.
Yeah. So that's a thing at the minute. There's not, like, and the thing is that in a way you can tell your fix to only to appear people who've got AO3 accounts, but these very dodgy apps will allow you to log into your AO3 account, and then obviously you can view stuff that's only available to AO3 members. But then the issue is obviously if you go and hide all your fic, like, you just aren't going to get many people reading it, because a lot of people who read AO3 fix are guests. Like, they don't have an account.
Yeah.
So it decreases reach. But then if you're one of those idiots that puts your credentials through one of these apps, like...
I mean,
good luck keeping that. Let's just hope you don't use the same password everywhere.
Password 1234.
Yeah.
Capital P, make it hard.
And of course there isn't...
Again, what they said in that.
Yeah, and there isn't really any effective way of dealing with it, though apparently rumour has it if you put a hash at the start of each chapter, suddenly these apps can't actually deal with the fic. But then when you consider that you've got writers that have something like 100 or 300 of fanfics to the name, adding a hash, which could be multi-chaptered fics, adding a hash to the start of each chapter. Like, you can bulk remove stuff from view of non-registered members, but there's no way to like bulk edit the content of a chapter. So it's just like, oh my god, dear lordy. And so people have been reporting the apps and doing like DMCA takedowns and shit. But AO3 doesn't have an official app, Archive of Our Own. However, the mobile version of its website is really good, and you can also download stories to read on your favourite e-readers. So it's kind of so you don't actually need an app, but people are lazy dicks and think that everything needs to be in an app.
Yeah.
They're also a lot of the time quite tight, so they'll probably go, what, I have to pay for this? Ah, screw this.
No, yeah, but no, that's the stupid. You don't have to pay for AO3. But then the stupid apps, in order to get access to some of the extra features, you do have to pay. Which is just crazy. So it's like people have obviously set these apps up with the hope that they'll be able to monetize this content that they're not actually allowed to monetize. It's just, so that's my derailment to the derailment that is on topic to the derailment.
So what are we talking about?
Although, if you think about it, isn't it all about cooperative enjoyment?
Oh, that is a terrible segue.
That is so cheesy.
Thank you.
So, Retro, you suggested this. Why do you want us to talk about co-op games today?
Well, one of the things we've been doing, one of the reasons, you know, we all game anyway. You know, there's the enjoyment of, gaming. And then there's just, the kind of relaxation. There are some games which are, they're like comfy blankets.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
You feel like going back to them and you just, as soon as they boot up, you think, this just feels right. One of those for me and Mrs. Retrod is the Halo series. That's one. And we had this idea, before Christmas, because we both got a 360, ourselves. And she's got some games, I've got by far the larger collection, but she's got her favourite. And I was browsing in Kex, and I happened to notice that some of the games were, some of the 360 games were at £1 each.
What? Okay.
And I thought, And all these other, all these games, all the Halos that we've, played, that's the ones that appeared on Xbox and 360. Until very recently, it didn't have an Xbox One, which I will talk about at the arse end, maybe. We played them split screen, and they tend, first of all, you've got the which one am I again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you've got the downgrading graphics. Especially, I remember with Reach. I remember when I got Halo Reach the first time, I played through the first level and thought, this looks really nice. Sat down, played it split screen and said, whoa, this is quite a downgrade. Still played through it, still enjoyed it, but it was very noticeably much plainer. And you could tell where there was supposed to be detail, but it had been stripped right back to keep everything, running. So, yeah, we've played all these before. I'm talking about stuff like, there's Halo and there's, the Gears series. And we decided, go on. We'll, pick up these games for, a pound or two. And we've sat down. We played Halo 4 and Halo Reach, because those are the ones that we haven't played through maybe more than once. And those were just really, really enjoyable, a lot of fun to go through. And of course, this was the first time that we'd seen them at full fidelity, without a screen each, a 360 each, a copy of the game each. Playing System Link, so not through Live, just System
Link.
Yeah, and it was just really enjoyable. And then, we played through the first Gears. We're currently playing through Gears 2. And again, enjoying seeing these games at their best, because there's no, compromise with screen size or, textures, anything like that. And It's just nice to lose yourself in those games. And, we're going through, some, administrative stress at the minute. So it's nice to just be able to say, do you fancy playing through, a bit more of, Halo or Gears? And, yeah, go on. So we do, and we just, it's great to experience these again, because we also played through Halo Anniversary this week, right at the start of end of last week, jumping ahead a few days, and again seeing how that looks in comparison with the game that we played. We must have gone through about 3 or 4 times the original Halo on Xbox. So it's just nice to see the proper lick of paint, because we had played through it split screen, but it's always going to be better on a machine each. Mm. And with the 360 being, where it is in this moment in time, they're quite cheap and the games are cheap as chips. So it's another reason to, do something like this. And yeah, it's just been nice to unwind in them. So, previously we've box-setted, TV series or films, but with these, we've just been able to play through them.
That's fair.
Yeah. Do you have any games like that, co-op, or is it...
I mean, we haven't in the past.
We haven't got anything that we regularly go back to at the moment.
No, I mean, because we kind of was playing Borderlands 3, but that actually kind of got a bit boring.
I mean, the only Borderlands game we've managed to complete is the first Borderlands together. Mm. We got about 20, 30 hours into the second one, and then got bored again. Mm. And three, we sort of thought, oh, well, we'll give it again, got bored again. But also, though, the graphics for that were annoying, but not for the lack of detail, but because of the sizing. Basically, if you a lot of text would start to disappear on split screen. Oh. So you try to look at the descriptions for weapons and stuff and items that get dropped in there, and they'd start disappearing off the screen, or they were like just too tiny to read.
And that's a load of bollocks then, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's not like we've got a small TV. I mean, it's not a big TV, but it's certainly not small.
Well, I mean, it's not big by today's comparison.
No.
By like 10 years ago, this is a massive screen.
But it's just ridiculous, and it's HD, and it's just kind of the size of the type is ridiculous.
I mean, we kind of appreciate the fact that they've bothered to actually do
same console split screen,
on the same console. But by the same token, they probably should have worked a little bit harder on it in terms of making sure that the user experience is equal to, even if it's not in graphics, then, in actual kind of functionality, really.
That just sounds like it hasn't had enough testing.
Mm.
I mean, to be fair, we don't know if that's been patched out, because we haven't played the game since before Christmas.
True, true.
But also, though, I mean, unlike other games that we've played with co-op, I would say that the story Borderlands 3 isn't exactly something that's particularly compelling in wanting you to perhaps go on, because basically you're playing an asshole who's in amongst a bunch of other assholes. Like, nobody's a particularly, compelling character in that game. Whereas something like Resident Evil 5, which is cheesy, but if you play it cooperatively, because the AI in Resident Evil 5 is appalling... if you play it cooperatively, you do actually get quite a nice experience, and it does feel like you're actually getting to play together.
Hmm.
That is on our list. I just need to pick up another PS4 pad.
Don't play Resident Evil 6, though, even if it's got co-op, because...
I remember what you said, yeah.
Yeah, for those listeners who don't, Resident Evil 6 has a terrible handling for ammo and healing items.
Yeah, it's basically, if you are playing single player, then you have a computer co-op partner who doesn't need to pick up any healing items or ammo or anything like that. However, if you're playing with somebody sat on the sofa next to you, then both of you have to kind of share that ammo and healing.
But there's no easy way to do it in that, and actually it ends up that you don't actually tend to have enough stuff handed over for two people.
Oh, and it's really fucking annoying when you have quick time events where both players have to actually succeed.
Yeah.
Because that just... No, it kind of kills stuff dead. Especially when, if I remember rightly, there was some stuff that was like... The warnings were, well, not necessarily the warnings were off screen, but the action was slightly off screen, which meant that you were basically relying on the big circle that, you know, with the X in it to kind of pop up suddenly. And some of those moments, they were just so sudden that it was like, press now. Okay.
I'm trying to think what was the last.
So, oh, you died.
Last exactly. Last game we played together that we actually enjoyed. Ooh, it's been a while. Haven't enjoyed one.
Well, I mean, we kind of enjoyed Borderlands 3 for a while. And I think just, it was kind of a nice novelty.
I think it was once we actually got off the first planet, we realised it was just going to be more of the same.
Yeah.
But no, I'm just trying to think. Like one that we actually did thoroughly. We still love the old Left 4 Dead. Because we rarely played that on a sort of a competitive, like to each other level. We usually tried to play in stuff where we were on the same team.
Yeah.
Well, with those, that's probably going to be on the list, but we've got those on PC on Steam. And those do connect absolutely fine. Yeah. That's another issue as well. Games which, I mean, I would have spat blood at the idea of needing a console and a copy of the game each, when everything was full price, because that can go to hell.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, come on, be serious.
I mean, a 40-quid game would basically cost you £160 in order to kind of get four copies of it for you to actually do multiplayer. Which is kind of why I liked Steam when they used to do the four pack of games that they can hand copies to your friends and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah, that is a really nice idea. But one of the issues is I've been reading. I mean, I've mentioned it's Halo 4. Halo 4 has a character that crops up. A Spartan voiced by Jennifer Hill. And she's got, kind of her own, she's in a separate arc that you can play. It's like, campaign set of missions.
Yeah.
The problem is it's called Spartan Ops and you need Xbox Live Gold. You can't even play split screen.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Although I tell a lie, we have played split screen, but only when Xbox Live had one of its free weekends, which I think is obscene. It's just trying to get people to go through Xbox Live for anything. It's just you don't need it, especially something like Halo, where the original Halo on Xbox did not have online. This was before Xbox Live came about.
Oh, yeah, because we've played the original Halo together years ago.
Yeah.
Many years ago.
It was like, you could do split-screen multiplayer and you could, of course, play the whole game through. So, of course, that's one of the things we did. And so you've got a game series where you've got a history of couch co-op and System Link. And then They piss on the chips a little bit with Halo 4. And then, and I've just found this out because, recently, came into possession of, an Xbox One. Halo 5 does not have split screen, which I already knew, but it also doesn't have System Link.
So does that mean that the only way to play two-player is basically online?
Yeah. You have to have two Xbox Ones, two copies of the game, and both of you have to have Xbox Live Gold. Then you can play it.
Because, I mean, I remember when I was younger, and, I mean, it didn't happen all that often, but, friends would come over, or you'd play with your brothers and whatnot, and, it's like, it used to be really cool to be able to kind of play, I don't know, four-player Smash Bros. Or, Mario Kart, or any multiplayer game, and that used to be really, really fun. By adding these extra steps.
Ever playing, Melee, being fun at any point ever, but the rest of your point stands. Yes, it's just especially when you've had a whole series where you've had couch co-op, you've had, you know, the split screen, and you know, what about LAN parties?
Mm. Yeah.
Is it LAN party? Oh, sorry, you're screwed. Because I'd forgotten this because I hadn't really been paying attention to Xbox One stuff because, you know, I didn't have one.
Yeah.
And then, you know, binging through, you know, the rest of them like this. And especially because Halo 4 didn't really impress me at the time, but, you know, playing through it again, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit for a game to click properly.
Mm.
But I thought, yeah, not only does Halo 4 look gorgeous for a 360 game, I mean, it really does look amazing. It looks like it's on running on different hardware, especially since we played Halo 4 and then we went, I think it was, we played Gears and then we played Halo 3, which was, of course, the, you know, the first one that came out on 360. And it's like, oh, dear. If you didn't know, you know, the games, you would say, is this a different console?
Mm.
Halo 3 does not look pretty. Not now it doesn't, but yeah, it's just there aren't enough games on PC that have split screen. Although at least on Steam and such, you don't have to pay anything for, you know, playing online. You can, yeah, you know, you can just play online. But yeah, I've got a feeling that Left 4 Dead, if, you know, we didn't already have it on Steam, that would be next on the list because we played through those a hell of a lot split screen.
Mm.
They're a lot of fun, especially when they added the campaign from Left 4 Dead 1 on into, you know, Left 4 Dead 2.
Mm.
Mm.
Well, I mean, I think part of the reason why Left 4 Dead works for us, but stuff like Borderlands doesn't, is because, in a way, the kind of the mechanics of the guns kind of get in the way of Borderlands, where you basically kill an enemy, they drop a random weapon, and you've got to suddenly figure out whether that weapon is any better than what you've got. And if you're in multiplayer mode, then you've got to figure out whether that item is also useful to another player as well.
And because of how we'd set it up, it meant that we were seeing different items sometimes, but then the different items that we saw might still be beneficial to the other player anyway, and thus you had to go for a complicated trade in order to get that item to the other player.
Yeah, and it's like Left 4 Dead was more like there is a particular type of weapon here. Any player can pick that up. All four players can pick that, you know, one up. Say, for example, the assault rifle or the shotgun or whatnot. And then you are basically playing one of four players that are pretty much identical, only, you know, different, you know, kind of voices and, you know, the way that you look and whatnot. And you kind of venture on forth together. And it just feels like the mechanics of it work a lot better than Borderlands, where the mechanics of it kind of stop you in a way.
Yeah, I picked up Borderlands back in the day because there was a spate of places like GameStation, which of course, you know, the brand has now been absorbed you know, entirely into game.
Yeah.
But what they do is if there were double packs or, you know, bundle copies of games that were sold with the console, they would often be two games in one box. But because they didn't have a barcode because they weren't for sale.
Yeah.
They sold them for £1 each, or something very cheap. I'm not sure. Thinking back, if it was a quid, but it was stupidly cheap to get some games. And Borderlands was one of them. And I think it came with either an ATV racing game. You know those.
Yeah.
Which, you know, they seem to mysteriously just keep appearing, or at least, you know, they did. And things like Lego Indiana Jones, you know, picked up those, you know, really cheap. So, you know, I picked up a Borderlands and I thought, we like co-op games. This, you know, does split screen. Let's try it. And it just did not gel.
No.
We were just going,
what
do you do? You know,
Maybe the last co-op game we really enjoyed together was Lego City Undercover.
That wasn't co-op.
Damn it, it was single player.
Yeah.
Damn it. Because I was thinking of Harry Potter games for a minute there.
Yeah, but obviously that was a game where I think I was playing and you were watching.
That's
what it was about, because it used to be a case of, oh, shall I, you know, stick on, you know, more Lego City Undercover, and basically you'd sit there watching me play it.
Driver San Francisco.
Oh yes, Driver San Francisco. I really like it.
See, this is the thing. This is like, there aren't that many co-op games out there where you've got same screen, split screen, or like, you know, just same console stuff. But there are some games where if you are a person in the room whilst it's being played, it is genuinely fun to watch it being played.
Yeah,
I do know exactly what you mean.
So I mean,
as an example, Mrs. Retroid has never played a BioShock. But she has really enjoyed watching me play the BioShocks. Even to the extent that, you know, if she's been elsewhere and, you know, I've said, you know, I'll probably play, you know, this or that, she said, do not play any more BioShock until I'm back.
Okay.
But, you know, because, you know, once two, you know, because again, you know, the whole atmosphere of those and, you know, the storylines.
Yeah.
You know, they, you can enjoy them as an observer.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so yeah, that's an example. And another one as well. I've long been a fan of the Fallout games. And of course they're single player. We do not speak of 76.
What game? But there's no such thing.
Exactly. There is no multiplayer, because that would be a really stupid idea, because not everyone can be the chosen one of the wasteland.
Mm.
I've always enjoyed the Fallout. So, you know, I leapt on Fallout 3 when it, you know, came out after, you know, Bethesda got it, and it was basically, you know, like post-apocalyptic Oblivion. Elder Scrolls.
With more rad roaches.
Yeah, with more rad roaches. And Maya Lurks. And Mrs. Retroid wasn't that bothered about it, but she was watching me play it, and, you know, she's, you know, she loves the Elder Scrolls and, you know, Skyrim and Morrowind. You know, all of those. So it was watching me play, I think it was Fallout 4, and thinking, you know, because I kept saying to her, you know, if you're looking for a game to play, why don't you play these? This is basically Skyrim with radiation. And she would, okay. And then, yeah, it's like, oh dear, that, you know, falling into the deep hole of Fallout games.
Well, I mean,
she's now played them all, apart from that one that doesn't exist because it's rubbish.
Fair. But now at the moment, Emily's been playing Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
My Switch tells me I've played more than 70 hours of it so far.
Which is astounding, considering, you know, I mean, I've had it since launch. And you've obviously seen me play it, you know, every now and again. And I can't remember what it is that got you into kind of...
I think I finally got a bit of Skyrim burnout.
Really? And just was like, I want something fancy and explorative and whatnot, but something different.
Yeah.
Fair. And it's kind of quite nice just watching Emily play through it. And I know sometimes I'm just kind of like, you know, it's like, I kind of want to take the controller and just be like, you know, no, you do this instead type thing. But I leave it to her.
Because that way lies danger.
Yes, and sometimes she's actually impressed me by, like, you know, kind of taking on, like, Lynels, for example.
I've only killed one successfully.
But, yeah, she took it on and...
Everyone deafened.
Wow, sneezed.
Yes, she sneezed at it and it died.
That would be if it was a Kinect title.
I mean, I think to a certain extent, part of the issue with co-op games, and even like competitive or, you know, same console ones, is there is, if there's ever like a skill gap between players, that can kind of sometimes cause issues.
I mean, I suppose one of the ways you get around that is, which Mario games is it that you've got multi co-op player?
There's a few of them.
But from the recent console,
are you thinking about like the 2D platformers?
Yeah, with the bubbles.
With the bubbles. Okay, so you're looking at, Super Mario Maker 2 has it, as well as New Super Mario Bros. and New Super Mario Bros. U. Then the obviously re-release of that, which is on the Switch as well.
Yeah, I mean that's a reasonable system because for me as somebody who really struggles with platformers, at least if I'm then playing with you, there's a chance that if I die, then obviously you can get me.
Or if there's
easily.
a particularly difficult thing,
you could just pick me up.
Yeah, I'll pick you up and just do it for you. It's like there you are. Thank you.
Well, good point with that, but something I noticed with Gears 2 that we just started today was you can have different difficulty levels for each player.
That's pretty
which
cool.
Of course, yeah, it means that you can take less damage, deal more damage, get more ammo or less ammo, and that works quite well because then we can play. I'm much more into my FPSs and third-person shooters as well and such that than Mrs. Retro is. But she's good. But of course, if you're wanting something to relax, you don't necessarily want it to be a complete arsehole to play. But I played Gears multiplayer and stuff like that, so I want it harder. So I put it on hardcore. And she put hers in casual.
Fair.
Because she's mostly just wanting to experience the game and run around picking up collectibles that we missed last time.
Yeah.
So of course, if there's less danger, then that means you can just run around doing all that kind of thing in these areas. So that works quite well, and that's why I think the whole thing we mentioned a while back about. Difficulty levels and people whinging about that. It's like, it's not just about other people are at different levels of skill, different skill levels in playing game. It's entirely on whether you just want to have fun playing it.
Yeah.
To some people, that's really making it into a hardcore struggle. To other people, it's just wanting to cause mayhem
with a touch, another side of mayhem and another touch of mayhem.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, speaking of mayhem, one of us decides to download Untitled Goose Game, it will be a game where one of us watches whilst the other plays, making hilarious suggestions and laughing.
Resident Evil 2 is another one where basically you started playing it with me watching and then you got a bit too scared with everything happening and basically pretty much froze up and you was like, you take it. And so I did, and then I started playing it with Emily watching it as co-pilot. And then I think we obviously one night it kind of got too late, so kind of saved and kind of went, and we haven't got round to getting back to it. And I know every now and again Emily will nudge me because Resident Evil 3 remake will be coming out at some point in the next kind of couple of months, I think.
Is it that imminent?
Yes it is.
I may actually have to get off my arse and play the remix.
Yeah, we need to finish too. We got so far. And we haven't even played Claire's story.
That's true. We've actually got to the Umbrella facility.
Yeah.
The last Resident Evil remake I played was the reimagining of the original Resident Evil on the GameCube.
Well, this remake completely redoes the game, quite frankly.
I've seen bits, just little clips, and it's like, that actually looks like a game that I would want to play instead of... I remember a mate getting a Sega Saturn, which I will quickly point out, so far as I know, was the original platform for Resident Evil. I think it was a very close thing between that and PlayStation. I think PlayStation got it a little bit later.
But
playing the original Resi on the Saturn and thinking this feels old, it feels a bit dated. not just because of the, you know, the presentation on anything, but I'm talking about the mechanics. So I'm really
the
glad
tank controls. Yeah.
Yes, yes. I'm really glad they've just, you know, completely made the game again.
It's not
a remake. It's just they have made the game again.
Well, no, it is a complete remake. I mean, say for example, when we're playing through it, and all of a sudden, Mr. X turns up in like the A campaign, and it's like, what? He's not meant to be there. What the hell's happening?
You panicked more than I did.
I've played the original Resident Evil game a lot.
As much as I've played 4.
Yes. So it was, I know what Mr. X was like. He was, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So when he turned up in the A campaign, when I thought it was going to be, you know, a fairly, you know, easy-ish thing because, you know, I've played it before. And then all of a sudden he turns up and it's like, this is a whole new game. Oh, crap. Run away.
I do feel like, because obviously we're about to enter another console generation. This later this year, technically, PlayStation 5's out, in theory, in time for holiday season. Mm. And I do wonder, like, just how much further co-op is going to move away.
I mean, to be honest, at this point, if they're just trying to push graphics, it's going to be a case
of... It's going to get sidelined.
Yeah, it's going to be a case of... Since the PlayStation, we've had 3D games. And, you know, graphics have got better progressively from PlayStation to PlayStation 2 to PlayStation 3. Now to PlayStation 4. If they're not going to do anything new with it, then it's like... Basically, it's just going to be... you know, kind of prettier graphics and that's it.
And the thing is that, like, trying to get people in, like, System Link with, like, the Xbox 360 was, like, quite a cool thing.
Mm.
But then getting together people with the same console together is actually quite hard.
Yeah. Which is why I like cross-play.
It can be, yeah.
I like cross-play games where you can play with your mate who owns an Xbox One or whatever, and you're on a PS4, and you can play together, or you've got a Switch, and you can all play together. And that is kind of was always my dream with multiplayer, you know, kind of games that can.
Yeah, but my dream didn't include having to pay for a online service at the same time.
That is a bit of a downer, but by the same token, at least you can, you know, kind of do stuff.
It is interesting how the different console platforms have approached it, because of course, when it came to the, you know, the Xbox, I think, which it maybe had 2 years, 18 months of, you know, Xbox Live, and then you had the 360, which is where it really started to push it. And of course, the 360 was such a roaring success that if you wanted to play multiplayer, you had to.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Xbox Live kind of, you know, sorted itself, and then playing catch up, you know, the PS3.
Yeah. Because I mean, wasn't said, one of the
online gaming will always be free. So what on earth can we charge money for? PlayStation Plus.
Hmm. And nowadays, I mean, am I right in thinking that you can't play PlayStation like 4 online without PlayStation Plus?
You need PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
So clearly they were gagging to drop that.
Mm. And I know Nintendo have, you know, kind of followed suit, but at a much more reduced rate. Because I basically ended up switching my Nintendo Online account with a Nintendo Family membership so that both Emily and Emily's brother can basically, you know, kind of join in for the price of, you know, one Xbox or PlayStation Plus membership type thing.
Yeah. And this is where I start, you know, talking about the, you know, the Xbox One that, you know, I mentioned ago. Okay, you know, if you didn't see me mention it on, you know, on Twitter, how much did I didn't get it for free, but how much did I pay for my Xbox One?
£30.
God damn it.
Was that a guess, or
that was
did
a
you
guess.
Remember?
Yeah, that was £30.
Oh, wow.
I bought an Xbox One for 30 quid.
Did you, like, trade in a load of stuff to CEX?
I want my question is, do I get any points for guessing the exact number first time?
You get 30 quid.
You get imaginary 30 Xbox bucks.
Yay.
But with this, it was, you know, listed on eBay, and they said, you know, it doesn't work, it doesn't read discs. But it, rather importantly, it had a picture of it sitting on its dashboard.
Oh.
And I thought, well, that shows it does work, at least to a degree. So I decided to, you know, I'd, you know, got some, you know, PayPal balance, and I thought, bollocks to it, I will, you know, I will splash on that. And it arrived in some of the worst packaging I have seen. It is a tribute to the Xbox One being built like a tank.
That
it was intact. And granted, the drive, you know, the optical drive does not work, but I did manage to eject the disc that was in, and it was like some old Disney DVD.
Oh, God.
So it probably just, you know, topped itself to avoid playing that. But the machine works. It works with, you know, with Wi-Fi. It's not banned. It, you know, went through update when it connected to, you know, the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm signed into it. I've been playing a free copy of Rare Retro Replay that I picked up for watching an E3 stream in Mixer. years ago, I didn't even know that, you know, that I had it until it's like, oh, hang on, wait, what? You know, purchases on the Xbox, you know, and oh, right, I have that, okay. And I like Rare stuff on the, you know, the Spectrum, less so on the NES and such, but go on then. But yeah, then started to, you know, look into, you know, Halo and, you know, and stuff like that. But the, you know, the thing that's really caught my eye, as it did a lot of people, you know, over Christmas, was they were offering the Xbox Game Pass for £1 for the first month.
Hmm.
And the Xbox Game Pass is, from what I can tell, all Microsoft published games included.
Hmm.
For download, several third party ones. I think it's something like it's over 110 games, and new ones are swapped in and out, you know, as it goes. But I've seen a price for like a 6 month membership for about 23 quid, and considering that you get all the first party Microsoft stuff and, you know, additional ones on top of that, it's just, that's quite startling value. Because I thought if you were, in, if say, you were wanting to buy a younger sibling or, you know, a nephew or a niece a gift, and you didn't have to think about it, and it was just, here, have something, then it used, I used to think that something like a PlayStation Plus subscription or, you know, Xbox Live, when they started doing games with gold monthly, you know, that would, you know, that would be kind of a decent thing. But I'm looking at what you get with, you know, the Xbox Game Pass, and it's just, that's a bit insane, the amount of stuff that you get with it.
Mm.
It's for wanting to play, you know, the, you know, the console platform exclusives, it's difficult to beat. And I'm almost tempted, you know, because I told a few people that I'd managed to get the, you know, this Xbone for, you know, 30 quid, and they were, well, you don't even have to bother getting the, you know, the optical drive fixed, because you just, you know, get subscribed to Xbox Game Pass, and, you know, you've got everything in a download.
Fair.
And, you know, I've looked at the list, and I'm thinking, yeah, but of course, that's why I was recently looking up Halo 5 and being really angry that a series that we first played probably 2006 split screen, you know, me and Mrs. Retroid.
Mm.
You know, the last one that was released is, no, fuck you, we insist. You have to have a separate console on Xbox Live, and it's just, no. until it gets to the, you know, the future when we, you know, we both have, you know, X-Bones, probably, you know, repaired ones.
Yeah.
Again, with a lot of these platforms, if you've got a good PC, I don't. That's why I haven't bothered until very recently getting the, you know, the consoles, because it's a bit. If you can buy them on PC, why would I get them on? You know, get them looking a bit worse on an expensive console.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, so it's not come up, but yeah, this is what happens when you watch repair videos on YouTube and you think, hang on, people are flogging Xbox Ones for 30 quid. Let me have a look at that.
It's amazing what interest you can kind of generate from, you know, Facebook views and whatnot.
I'm going to bring this back to co-op. Bring this back to co-op.
Okay.
That I was still partly on topic.
Partly. So, yeah, I like playing co-op games. I know there is a website out there that will tell you what kind of co-op, if any, that games have, but I can't remember the name of it right now. People have directed me towards it before. But you can sort of search a game and it'll say, you know, like what kind of cooperative it is. But yeah, I just kind of want more, but also more with some story. A lot of it's been mechanics based, like Borderlands 3. Like Borderlands' story, like their stories are always quite loose. Like it's more about the gameplay for stuff like Borderlands series, and the same with Mario. Like I would like Resident Evil 5 is probably the one game with the most story that we've played with co-op.
Well, as we're playing co-op rather than kind of a co-piloting type thing.
I kind of wouldn't mind some more narrative-based experiences.
I mean, I quite like the co-piloting thing. It'll be kind of cool to have some sort of weird asymmetric kind of thing going on when it comes to like video games like that, where, you know, one player is the main person kind of doing stuff and the other player may do stuff that will aid
them. That almost sounds like pair programming, but gaming.
Pair programming?
Oh, in pair programming, you have like a navigator and a driver. Like one person types the code and the other person talks at them at what to do.
Okay.
There's really weird, cool benefits to it. And the extreme version of that is mobbing, where you have basically like a whole room of people with one person typing and they take it in turns. But anyway.
But I mean, imagine like a, you know, kind of off-road racing game type thing where one player's like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, kind of doing like the whole rally. Map thing. Yeah, you're rallying and the other player's just going, nee, nee, nee. I reckon that'd be really cool, actually.
Hmm. It would be.
Just be like, there's a hard left up.
It's getting late, guys. So that's all we've got time for this night. So it is goodbye from...
It's good night from me, Paul Wood. I'm Retroid on Eurogamer.net and Super Retroid on Twitter.
It's good night from me, the co-host. See what I did there? Paul Blurt, and I'm on Twitter's at Paul Blurt.
On the same sofa.
Yeah. And it's good night from me, Emily King. I'm on Twitter at EMKingMA. You can find notes of this episode over at www.nerdassemble.co.uk. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Nerds Podcast. We're also on Facebook as Nerds Assemble Podcast. You can find us on Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, and a couple other places. That's it. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Player 2 has entered the game.
Rob died.